A weekly, sometimes monthly, sometimes bi-monthly pulse on all things green and gold. It is another edition, an off-season edition of Weekly Wildy, although it's not weekly right now. That is the three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wildy. I am Alex Strofe with you from downtown Milwaukee. The off-season in full swing. We are less than a month away from the NFL draft coming to Green Bay. Jason Wildy has a new job where his writing work lives at channel3000.com. Lots has changed. Packers have a new wide receiver everybody's super excited about. Hi, Jason.
Why is it that bi-weekly and bi-monthly both mean twice a week or once every 2 weeks? Like, what is wrong with our language that doesn't make any sense? What are we doing?
Yeah, we pointed out on Kyle Bruston-Nortman, 2-5 on ESPN Wisconsin.
Great content on that show, especially from the producer.
That's what I hear. Yeah, thank you for the compliment. We pointed out how confusing the English language is. Read and red are spelled the same. There. Content and content. There's a ton of them. I don't know.
Yeah. Minute and minutes.
Well done. That one certainly falls into the category as well. So we have a very confusing language. But but also this program sometimes will be every other week and sometimes will be every other month until we get to training camp at the end of July. But let's kind of, I want to say, close the book on free agency, because I feel as if the Packers are done making any impact moves before we react to some of the signings and some of the moves they made. Do you agree with that? Are they done? I mean, there's not a lot of action to be had at this point. So I would imagine no more Packers moves, at least of significance, until April 24th.
Did they make impact moves? They filled two holes, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And they paid a guard a heck of a lot of money.
They sure did.
And I'm very curious to see, you know, again, this is the beauty of having Brian Bulaga on our team. I'm very curious to see, once the season starts, what he thinks of what he sees from Aaron Banks. And again, you know, Nate Hobbs is an intriguing pickup for a team that has cornerback depth issues. But he's not Xavier McKinney. He's not Josh Jacobs. But Goody told us that from the jump, right? He talked to the scouting combine. He said, look, this is not – last year, those were guys that you can't believe are on the market. There aren't that's not what this year is. So if we start with that as our baseline, they added two meaningful, important pieces. But what I would quibble with what you said is you just never quite know if someone is going to be an impact addition, even if they're not in that first wave, right? And, you know, Tausch loves to tease me about saying, well, they just got to get themselves a Zach Bond. Well, that's not really what I'm saying. But Zach Bond would be the poster child for what you want to do. But Goody has done that. He did it with Devondre Campbell. He did it picking up Rasul Douglas off the Arizona Cardinals practice squad at midseason.
Yeah.
He did it with Keyshawn Nixon, who has evolved into a really important piece for them. And maybe Mecole Hardman can be that guy. He's not their number one wide receiver. They didn't get DK Metcalf, despite my, it's been a rough year for me. You know, I wanted Davante Adams on their roster, and I wanted Brad Fisher to be the new Badger women's basketball coach. I'm 0-2. But, like, just because a guy is a bargain basement addition doesn't mean he won't be an impact addition. And so, you know, are there guys out there that are still on their radar that could make sense? Are there guys that after the draft teams will move on from because they drafted at that position or whatever it might be? So, you know, Goody likes to say that roster building is a 24/7, 365 endeavor. And he's right. It is. But to the spirit of your question, no. Like the headline grabbing, oh, they got him, moves I think appear to be done. Although let's make sure we at least leave the door open, because I don't think Trey Hendrickson has a new deal in Cincinnati. There was talk about them working on it, but that you never know where that might go. But yes, to your point, I think we're pretty much donezo.
Yeah, I would agree with your buddy Dunzo the Clown in terms of impact moves, but not that clown laugh is so creepy, but it's impressive you can do it. To your earlier point, did they make impact moves? I think they think yes, right? When you sign a guy like Aaron Banks, their new offensive guard, to the money in which they did, which was a pretty big contract. When you sign a guy like Nate Hobbs, who clearly they have decent expectations for, it's a guy that's going to be on the field come week one. And the Mecole Hardman one, I don't know what to make of it, to be real honest with you, because as to your point, this guy doesn't solve your issues at the top of the depth chart for the wide receiver position. He's probably closer to Bo Melton than he is a Jaden Reed in terms of the depth chart. But can he provide returning opportunities in the punt return game, in the kick return game? Can you move Jaden Reed and Keyshawn Nixon off of those? I think so, but will he definitely make the roster? On March 27th, I don't think either of us can confidently say, yeah, he'll make the roster. So I don't know. I don't know what to make of these. It's certainly not as sexy as what you had last year when you're bringing in names like Xavier McKinney and Josh Jacobs. But to your point, and this is something both you and I have spent a lot of time on, whether it be on this program or any of our respective shows throughout the year or Green Bay Game Day, Goody has done a nice job when it comes to those low-risk, high-reward moves. He has. I mean, you listed off several of those names in which you've gone, I don't know who that is, to, oh, wow, we know who that is, right? Devondre Campbell is a name I don't think you mentioned, at least his first contract when he became an All-Pro. So we will see if these work out to that effect, but it doesn't make me sit here on March 27th going, yeah, this is a Super Bowl team, right? You see some of the moves Washington and makes. I'll even give credit, and I'm not saying they're a Super Bowl team, but I'll even give credit to the team down south, the Chicago Bears. They are taking big swings this offseason to make some massive improvements in a tough division. It just doesn't feel like the Packers did that, but this is still the youngest team in the league. It's still a good team. It's still likely a playoff team. It just doesn't feel to me right now that this is a championship team, which I think is fair.
Yeah, and you know, it would be nice if you listened to me, because Devondre Campbell was the first person I said on that list. But be that as it may, to your point about Mecole Hardman, like, look, he hasn't been productive the last 3 years. His first 2 years in the league, he was productive. Mm-hmm. He's not a huge guy. I don't think he's super durable. But he caught a touchdown in the Super Bowl, and not only that, it was the game-winning touchdown, right? So, like, there's something there. Now, what are your expectations? Well, your expectations are reflected in the contract. You just mentioned Aaron Banks. They paid him a lot of money. They're not paying Mecole Hardman a lot of money. I mean, my goodness, you know, I've learned this throughout the years. When these insiders break contracts, and you've heard me say this, you know, the agents, if it's a blockbuster deal, they want the numbers out there. And then if it's kind of a mid deal, it's, the contract is worth up to so many dollars. Mecole Hardman, the reporting from Jeremy Fowler, didn't even have that. It just said 1 year deal. Same with AJ Dillon, whose deal turned out to be a minimum deal. So right. To your point about him, you know, not being on the roster when the season starts, that's a distinct possibility. I think it probably includes one of those, and I have not looked it up. Rob Domofsky always has such great access to this stuff. But like, I think he probably got a $167,000 signing bonus, which is the maximum you can get on minimum deals, which, again, is more than you and I make. So in real money, that's a lot. But in football funny money, that's nothing.
It's nothing.
That's, you know, your next trip to Chipotle. So I just, you know, there is low risk there. And they needed to replenish that position. They still do. Like, they have not, as you put it, they have not solved it. And do I think they're going to draft a wide receiver in the first round? I don't. But I think that this is another one of those years where if one of those guys, the Ohio State guy, McMillan from Arizona, if those guys are there, you know, I still, one of the great untold stories that I don't think Goody will ever answer questions about it, because he'll say those are hypotheticals or that was in the past. But I will always wonder, because I had multiple people tell me this, that he wanted Brandon Ayuk in 2020, that he really liked Brandon Ayuk. And then the 49ers trade up in front of them, and at 25, they take Ayuk, and then he takes Love at 26. And I don't tell that story, and again, I would love for Goody to confirm it, just because it would underscore how important luck can be in the draft, right? Because, look, they deserve credit for it. I am not in any way trying to take away credit for drafting Jordan Love, right? It was a visionary decision that I would also argue probably didn't help them in the short term, and they went to an NFC championship game, and they had the number one seed in 2021, and their offense couldn't do jack against San Francisco in a home divisional playoff game. Maybe T. Higgins helps you there in both of those games, because he's turned out to be pretty good in Cincinnati. But I don't want to take away credit for picking Love, but was he going to pick Love if the 49ers hadn't gone in front of him and taken Ayuk, or would he have taken Ayuk, right? He told a good story with us in the postseason presser about the 2019 second round, you know, when they took Elgton Jenkins. He liked Deebo Samuel. We know he liked Drew Lock, who had fallen out of the first round, but there were serious conversations about taking him at 12 instead of Rashawn Gary. And then he liked DK Metcalf, and he liked Mecole Hardman. And he liked, obviously, Elgton Jenkins. So Samuel and Lock go before they pick, but DK Metcalf is still there, and Hardman is still there, and they take Elgton Jenkins. And he told that story in relation to a question I asked him about getting Jaden Reed in the draft. They traded back twice in the second round in the 23 draft and still got Jaden Reed. He could have gone in that time. And maybe the next guy you have on your board turns out to stink. So there is an element of luck involved there. So now, are they going to get lucky? And is one of those few wide receivers with a first-round grade going to fall to them? If that happens, is he going to pull the ripcord on that and make that happen? It feels to me like it would be a good time to do it. With Watson injured, with both Watson and Dobbs in the final year of their contracts, and the fact that as much as I like Wicks and I like Reed, they're coming off seasons where they did not make the jump you wanted them to.
Yeah, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Now, these are still young receivers. Could they make a jump? I still think the answer is yes. We just didn't see it a year ago, and obviously that's in the midst of all the drops that specifically Wicks and Reed had, both top 10 in the league last year and drop passes. So I like those guys. I don't want to take away from them. But it still feels like for this team to get to the next level and really be in the conversation in the NFC, they needed a top-end receiver. And the biggest story for me of this offseason actually isn't anything they did. It's what they didn't do, and that was your report, that they never reached out to Davante Adams. They never even reached out. And ultimately, he lands in L.A. with the Rams. He gets a nice chunk of change to be a Ram. I don't know if that was a dollar amount the Packers would be willing to pay somebody in their 30s. But I was still a little bit taken aback and still am to this point a couple weeks removed that they never even reached out, right? And I know you're the one that broke that news, but here we are a few weeks later. How are you feeling now? That still feels like a misstep of sorts to not even, you know, pick up the phone and say, hey, Devontae, you interested in the reunion? Which, by the way, he was on the record that he would be open to a reunion. But I guess the past is the past at this point.
Yeah, look, I agree with you. I've said it a million times, whether it's with you or on KBN or across our ESPN Wisconsin shows. Look, I am biased. I really like him. I believe he's still got more than enough left in the tank. He may not be the guy he was in 2020 or 2021, but I don't think there's a major precipitous drop-off. Again, I've told you I've gone and I just went back and watched Jets games just because, you know, I like to have something on when I'm working. And so I go on to NFL Plus, or usually it's Law and Order. But I was watching some of it while I was writing. And look, they stunk. I'm not saying they didn't. I'm not saying that Rodgers was sufficiently mobile. But they weren't as god-awful as you would think, because you look at their record and you listen to the narrative. Davante Adams still had a 1,000-yard season. Now, the video that you see on social media of the two of them is that harebrained trick play throwback thing where he just gets walloped eventually when the ball is thrown forward.
Yes.
And yeah, that was a comedy of errors. And so were the Jets as a whole. But like, this also goes to what I wrote about for Channel 3000 today. Like, look, I know everyone has Rodgers fatigue. I've been there, right? I've had it with him. I've had it with Favre watch for 4 years before he went to the Jets and subsequently the Vikings. Like, that was an annual thing that I was not looking forward to, right? But if you listen to Kwesi Adofo-Mensah yesterday, the Vikings GM, he twisted himself into a pretzel trying to make sure that he made it sound like they don't want Rodgers anymore, but without lying and saying they've ruled out Aaron Rodgers. Like, and that is, you know, as Homer likes to say, everything is important as it relates to the Green Bay Packers. I look at that roster and I think about it with a first-year starting quarterback,
Yeah. Even
a guy that was picked 10th overall. And then I look at it with a, yes, 41, about to be 42 in December quarterback, who's a first-time Pro Football Hall of Fame ballot selection, who is one more year older, but also one more year removed from a devastating injury, because Achilles are hard to come back from. And you could tell that from his play last year. And I think, ooh, if I was a Packers fan, I don't want any part of that. I want them to start the first-year starter and have him have the same growing pains that I saw Jordan Love have. I would much prefer that. And, again, the fact that the Vikings have taken this approach tells me that that's not off the table. So that's the long-winded answer to, you know, I think both of those guys can help whoever they're with. And in Devontae's case, he is with the Rams. And I believe he would have helped this team. I believe he would have been the perfect fit for this team, because then he allows those other guys to grow into the number one job behind him, as opposed to what they've done since he left. I thought that made it. It was not a no-brainer to sign him, because if he was going to get $23 million a year, I get it. But it was a no-brainer to call him. And the fact that Goody didn't tells you everything you need to know about what he thinks of you once you've turned 30.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah, I think that's really well said by you. And, you know, you're welcome. As confusing as it is, it boils down to that, right? He wants a young roster. And obviously the dollar amount is a part of that too. And Devontae deserves to get paid. He's still got plenty of tread left on the tires, to your point on your NFL Plus watching. Now, when it comes to Rodgers, and then I want to get to the draft before we wrap up. I fully agree with you, and it sounds like a lot of people actually are on the opposite side of us when it comes to the potential of Rodgers to the Vikings, because they think he's washed up, they don't think he can provide. Like, this is a 12-win team from a year ago, and that's an offense that made Sam Darnold look elite, right? What do you think a guy like KOC, Kevin O'Connell, can do with a four-time MVP, another year removed from the Achilles? I want no part of that. And the other part of that, too, is, and you know, I'm 26, full transparency, right? So most of my life, Rodgers has been the Packers quarterback. So I want to root for him elsewhere, right? If he's in Pittsburgh, outside of Ben Bruss' September 28th date in Ireland when the Packers played the Steelers, I want to root for Aaron Rodgers to succeed. I watched Jets games last year. And there were many moments, you know, despite not a lot of winning, there were many moments where I go, ooh, he's still got it, man. And I want to see that before he retires and we live in an NFL where there is no Aaron Rodgers. If he's in Minnesota, I can't root for him, because they're a good football team. And they're another team that I think made some nice improvements in free agency this offseason. So I want nothing to do with that. I want him to go to Pittsburgh. I want to see him and George Pickens and DK Metcalf together, because I think that's just going to be hilarious TV. But the Vikings make a lot more sense for Rodgers. And if, you know, listening to their GM yesterday, he needs some PR training, I think, after some of his answers in relation to the quarterback position. But, yeah, I want nothing to do with this, Jason.
Yeah, and look, I'm sure there are Packers fans that think we are being chicken littles about this and are like, no, he's washed. I don't care where he plays. But yeah, go ahead, go to the Vikings, right? And again, they may be right. Like, I don't have a crystal ball, right? I could be 100% wrong on this, but I would say I don't want to – if I'm a Packers fan, I don't want to tempt the fate of the football gods. I just don't. Let him start J.J. McCarthy. And look, KOC, to your point, turned Sam Darnold into Sammy Baugh. Like, he made him outstanding last year. And whether or not, and, you know, John Schneider's a good buddy of mine. I root for his teams because he's my friend. I am super curious whether Sam Darnold without KOC turns back into a pumpkin, or if he's unlocked something where he's going to be really, really good moving forward.
Yeah, I agree.
Right? Because even with KOC, the playoff game and the Lions game in the finale, not good, right? But if Kevin O'Connell was able to do that with Sam Darnold, could he do that with the guy that he was part of drafting in J.J. McCarthy? Absolutely. Could he do that with Aaron Rodgers? Yeah. And again, I struggle with this so much because I think there are a lot of people that tune us out when we talk about him because they just have that fatigue. But my point is that this is, if he's motivated, and on top of that, if he says, look, I've tried it my way, that Jets thing was a blank show, I'm just going to come in and work my ass off and be fun Uncle Aaron with the young guys, and I'm going to adapt to them instead of making them adapt to me, watch out. That's all I'll say, is watch out. And if I'm wrong, great. But if I'm a Packers fan today, I am hoping that the Vikings see enough from J.J. McCarthy that they're like, no, we're going to pass. And then J.J. McCarthy has the same growing pains that Jordan Love had in the first half of the 23 season. But it extends throughout the season, and they end up being an 8-9 team. And it's the Packers and the Lions with their two new coordinators that are battling out at the top of the division.
We are less than a month away, April 24th, day one of the NFL draft, which will happen just outside of Lambeau Field in Green Bay. I have a couple of thoughts and questions in relation to how the Packers approach the draft here over the course of the next month. But before we get there, are you like able to use your office during the draft, or because it's in Green Bay, does that change?
Well, it's not because the draft's in Green Bay. So they are renovating the home locker room and expanding the equipment room into the media auditorium. So, and they're moving like the team meeting rooms and everything. Like, it's a major expansion of the football area.
Okay.
And so while they're doing that, which, you know, I ran into a friend of mine that works in the building at Happy Joe's Pizza.
Oh, great
which I
spot.
Love,
great
yeah.
spot.
And so we got to get them as a partner now, clearly. They can sponsor Weekly Wildy. And I can get some free tokens to play the games in the front. But he was telling me all the stuff that's going on over there. I was like, dude, you chose to do that now when you also have the draft? It's like, yeah, it's a lot. But anyway, so what they're doing is they took the team and put them in that brand new third locker room that they built for when they host soccer games and everything else. And so, like, where my office is, I hope people find this interesting. Otherwise, it's just me blabbing about, I got an office at Lambeau Field. It's got a lot of bobbleheads in it because Paula doesn't want them anywhere other than in here and somewhere else.
I've been in there. There are a lot of bobbleheads. Yeah,
there are. And people do enjoy that. They come and peek in on the tour and everything else. But so that's like the player's lounge, not my office specifically, the area where my office is located. So I have not been in my office since the season ended. And I miss my bobbleheads. But on top of that, like, that still will continue apparently all the way to training camp.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know what draft coverage is going to be like. I'm probably going to hang out at the Tundra Trio and then run over just when they're making picks, because Lord knows. And I don't know what the work situation is, whatever. But the more significant thing is not my inconvenience. It's I assume by now they've figured this out. But I love the fact that Goody and LaFleur last year, at the end of last year's draft, when they got questions about the excitement of having the draft in Green Bay in 2025, were like, hey, I just want to know how I'm going to get into the parking lot and get into the building. Yeah. And I'm with them on that because they haven't bothered to tell us.
Yeah, I read something that parking in that area will be shut down by 8 a.m. each morning, and you won't be able to get out until midnight if you're utilizing, like, Oneida Street. Don't take that as gospel, but that, I read that somewhere.
Well, so. Oneida Street is just going to be, I mean, it's going to be blocked. Like, the stage...
It's on Oneida, right?
It's on Oneida, and I'm not saying on Oneida Street, like, no, on the actual street. They're building it in the street.
Wow.
So, yeah, you know, as a Green Bay boy, you know, you're gonna have to find some alternative travel plans, though you know that city better than most of our teammates.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. I'll be up there all week. I'm looking forward to it. So maybe we'll do a live and in-person weekly Wildy. We'll all find out together. All right.
You got to bring the Happy Joe's pizza.
Okay, I will. I haven't been there in probably a decade, Jason. So that was that was an incredible pull by you. Did you go to the one? The only ones on East, is that East Mason or is that Main Street?
Oh, good question. I think that's East Mason.
Okay, got it. Yeah, I grew up over there, so that's wild. All right, draft stuff. So the top 30 visits, so the Packers get a total of 30 visits they can use with potential prospects ahead of the draft. For example, last year they only used 28 of them, but the Packers specifically, or maybe it's like this for every team. I don't cover every team. But it's interesting to see the guys they utilize them on, especially after the draft is over. So here are the names that ended up with the Packers after they used the top 30 draft of them. Well, I'll just look at last year, for example. In the linebacker room, Edrin Cooper, who ended up being pretty good, was a top 30 visit. Tyron Hopper, who was a second-day pick, was a top 30 visit. Catano Ladapa, one of the safeties, was a top 30 visit. And then an undrafted free agent offensive lineman, Donovan Jennings, was also a top 30 visit for the Packers last year. It's usually about 4 to 5 guys that they take a top 30 visit with end up with their team. Now, looking at the Packers, they've only done a few so far. Couple of edge rushers, couple of offensive linemen, and a wide receiver. Does this give you any insight into how they approach, especially the first 2 days, rounds 1, 2, and 3 in the draft, just based on the positions they are visiting with? Does that give you any insight at all, or is it completely unknown to anybody until they actually make the pick?
No, it totally gives insight, right? Like, it's not a guarantee that they're going to draft a guy. But I know, wasn't it Shamar Stewart from A&M?
Yep.
Like, he posted a picture of Lambeau to his social media, and like, you know, it's hard to keep this stuff clandestine now, right? But yeah, it seems like it only feels this way. As you pointed out, it's not the case, but I swear to God, every time we do a conference call with these guys after they get drafted, it's like, well, I was there on one of my visits and I got on the board with Jeff Hafley or whatever it might be. So it definitely matters whether or not that ends up being a guy ends up on your team. There's so many other factors that go into that, including he visited probably 10 or 12 other teams that also like him,
right?
Who may have drafted him before you could. But, you know, I will just say this because I know we're short on time. I don't think there are any instances where Goody brings a guy in for a visit just to be doing subterfuge. I don't think he wants to waste one of those on, we want to make the team in front of us or whatever think we're interested in this guy. Like, I don't think he operates that way.
I don't either. Looking at 2023, just for context, Dontavian Wicks, Lou Nichols, Sean Clifford, Ben Sims, Kadeem Telfert, Carl Brooks. That's 6 of their top 30 in 23 who ended up with the Packers. So. It gives you a little bit of insight, and it's not always those first round picks. It's more of those day 2 and day 3 guys, and even UDFAs who might wind up in Green Bay. Less than a month from the draft, going to be a once in a lifetime event up in Green Bay in Jason Wildy's wonderful city. You can hear him Wildy and Tash weekdays 9 to noon across all of our shows on a weekly or bi-weekly basis for Jason Wildy. You can also read all of his work as we approach the draft. Channel3000.com, the new home to read Jason Wildy. And by the way, it's not behind a paywall. I get to read everything Jason Wildy does now without paying for it. It's lovely. Jason, this was good, buddy. Appreciate the time as always.
You get what you pay for. I appreciate that even cheapskates like you now have access. And if I may just take a brief moment, I am extremely thankful to Morgan Murphy Media and Channel 3 and Channel3000.com because it has been awesome. I went from being panicked about where my writing would be for season 30 to feeling like I'm in a really, 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 really good spot. So thanks for reading. I appreciate that. And more importantly, thanks for doing this. I missed our little chats, so it's good to have you back. I look forward to the next time you can find time in your busy schedule to do this with me again.
I'll make time for you. Are you doing TV? Is that handsome mug on TV ever?
I think what we do is we tape something that's a little bit longer, not quite as long as this, obviously, and then maybe like 30 seconds of it goes on to TV.
Oh, wow.
So, because you know me, I talk in very concise sound. Yeah. So I feel it's very easy to do.
Yeah. You're a short spoken guy. So hopefully all the context makes it to TV, but that might take an entire newscast. Heyo. All right. Jason Wilde on social at Jason J. Wilde. You can get me at Alex_Strofe at Strofe ESPN. We'll do this again soon, right here on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channel and available wherever you get your podcast. See you, Jason.
Bye.